Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp. The kick. It's been blocked again. Oh, my. It's been blocked again.
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyreek Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw.
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Good morning, Gator Nation, and welcome to Stadium and Gale. We have the illustrious honor to welcome the head coach of the Florida Gators football team, John Summerall, to the show today. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. I appreciate you, man. That was a fire intro, man. I like that.
I'm telling you what, man. Coach, I know we've got a limited time here, so I want to ask you just kind of fresh off the bat here. We wanted to get you on post-spring so we could talk a little bit about what you know about the team now that you didn't know going into spring practice. So what's the biggest couple of things that you take away from this Florida Gators football team now that you didn't know a couple months ago?
Well, I think the guys are eager. You know, they worked extremely hard, and they were coachable. There's certain areas where maybe you go into the spring and you've got concerns and you feel better about those concerns. I'd say the defensive line probably falls in that category going into the spring. I was not as sold or maybe sure of that group and feel maybe more confident in who that group is. There's certain groups you go in, you got question marks going in, you leave with still some question marks. The O-line, not to hide from any of it, I think you go into it and you're like, okay, we still got to figure out what's the right grouping, what's the right five that are going to play together, and where do those guys have their cleats set to give us the best opportunity to have success this year. And then there's other areas where you felt good about going in, and you still feel good leaving, kind of like, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the quarterback position. You know, I know that's a hot button topic. It always is every year. You know, I've been through as a head coach every year, but a head coach, there's been a quote unquote a quarterback competition. So at this point in life, I'm sort of bored with it. But what I would say is this, that room supported each other really well, did some good things. Each guy in that room, whether it be Tremel or Philo or Will Griffin or all those guys in the whole room, all did, Aiden Warner, they all did things that I think gave you some confidence. They all did some things at times where you're like, man, we got to improve in this area. But we've got a lot of good pieces here on this football team. Individual pieces don't win football games, though. And so it's how we become a team that matters and how we continue to grow through the summer. We've still got a lot of work to do before game one is played. I'm glad that we don't have a game this week. We still need some time.
One of those retention was a big thing you talked about in your opening press conference. I wanted to talk about the running back room. You keep Jaden Ball, you keep Duke Clark, you keep Byron, but you add two pieces. Just what do you think you were able to do in that room from the retention standpoint and then also adding through the portal?
Well, yeah, you have a known commodity like Jaden. It started there. You know, the retention of Jaden was a huge piece to what we wanted to be in 2026 as a football team. There's no secret from I want to run the football. I want us to be able to run the rock, and Jaden's a huge part of that. And you mentioned, you know, getting Duke and Byron back, but then adding Pryor and London. Both those guys have juice and have maybe some versatility and flexibility that can allow us to use them differently within the offense with some stuff that we do. And so that room has depth to it that I think gives you a reason to be excited about what it could look like in the fall. And they were productive during the spring. They all did some really good things at certain times. each guy may have a skill set that that they bring to the table. It's a little bit different or unique. But that group top to bottom, I think, gives us an opportunity to play winning football.
And you emphasize on the team playing fast and physical. How do you think they progress over the 13 practices in spring, you know, in that category?
Yeah, it's a good question. I really feel like the physicality elevated. You know, I don't know how you can win in this game without playing with an edge and some toughness and a physicality that's undeniable. You know, and when I think of Florida football, man, I think of playing with an edge and a swagger and having a little something about you that may be uncomfortable for other people. Well, the only way you get that edge, that swagger, that confidence in your play style is practice that way, you know, and kind of great opportunity for me to be able to interact with Urban as much as I have since taking this job and really even before taking the job. And Urban, you know, talked to me about early on during his time here, just when he knew they had a chance to be successful was when the practices were so ultra physical that he didn't have to get them to practice hard. They just brought it. Like the guys just came out and you knew it was going to be a fist fight. Like anytime they made it live, it was going to be borderline. Like it was going to be bloody. It's going to be physical. And we have to have that about us. Like that can't be any other way that we play than physical with an edge.
Coach, who's an under the radar player that maybe fans don't know a lot about, or the coach doesn't know a lot about, that you expect big things out of, that might be a household name by the end of the year?
Yeah, you know, Kanye Clark at the star position had a really good spring. I thought he'd flash. There's several guys. I think Ben Hanks at corner had a really good spring. He may be a household name because of his dad's name as much as his name right now. But I think he showed some signs of where he could go. You know, in the receiver room, the top three are talked about a lot, whether you talk about Dallas or VB3 or Singleton, a lot of people's minds. But I think the depth of that room with Bailey Stockton, Micah Mays, TJ Abrams, I think could be an intriguing group. You know, on the offensive line, I'd say Harrison Moore, TJ Shanahan, Emeka sort of flashed. Defensive line, several guys in that room that I think took steps forward. I think Brendan Bett really elevated from being a guy that's, you know, I think a pretty good player to a guy that could take some games over potentially on the D-line. But those are some of the names that really jump out to me that I think really had an arrow up as you went through the spring.
All right, we go to the position that you played. Miles missed a little bit of time. How did you see maybe Aaron Childs step up, a guy who's played a ton of snaps here, but just step up as that vocal leader in that room before Miles was able to come back and finish spring?
It's a good question, Nick. You know, when we were about practice three or four in, I really told our defensive staff, like, I haven't felt the linebacker room like I wanted to at that point. And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, we haven't gone live yet. And then the first live period, Aaron Childs made his presence known. And sometimes at that position, you know, we were playing t-shirt football. You're playing thud where you're not tackling to the ground. You have a hard time really getting the pulse of what that group feels like. When we cut it loose and it went live, AC, he showed up. Like you felt him. And then, you know, Jaden Robinson and Miles mm-hmm. Johnson and some of those other guys in that room did some really good things this spring too. And then when you inserted Miles Graham back into the equation mid spring, man, he's a freaking good player. Like he's got instincts. He's got a little edge about him. That group I'm excited about, but AC stepped up, man. He's a thumper. He's a box presence. Got to continue to work and develop on his ability to play in space and maybe some coverage recognition stuff that he's got to polish and refine to take his game to the next step so he can be a big time dude. But love what he's about, man. Love coaching him. Love his demeanor. He's wired right, man.
Just to keep it defensively, right? You and Brad White both play very aggressive in the front seven, but you play more of a bend, but not break on the back end with the secondary. Is that what we should expect, you know, this fall? Or you guys are playing a little bit more press man zone? Like, what's the strategy there?
Yeah, well, I think it evolves every year, you know, Corey. But if you look at our defense at Tulane in 24, we were ridiculously aggressive in all phases. Well, we had three NFL DBs. So I had Jonathan Edwards, who was an FCS transfer, who's now at the Colts. I had Micah Robinson, who was an FCS transfer, who's now at the Titans. I had Caleb Ransall and Nickel, who's now at the Jags. So, you know, we did. We played a ton of man. We tried to choke people out. Then last year at Tulane, I had much less experienced, proven guys and maybe less confident guys just because the time, whether they weren't talented, but they were babies, right? Like trying to figure out how to play at this level. So you have to protect those guys at times. And, you know, you don't want them to be the reason you lose the game. Like, make the other team take advantage of what you're giving them. So I think it evolves year to year. Like, you lean on your strengths, you try to offset your weaknesses and minimize what those look like. And so as we continue to evolve, we do have, I think, the personnel in the back end at corner right now, athletically, to play with a mindset of, like, let's go be really aggressive and sticky in coverage. We have to be more consistent. You know, I think, as I said, Ben, but Kermani is as talented as anybody I've been around. We've got to be more consistent there, right? And so that's the thing, is that group can do a lot of things at a high level. And really, what will the back end guys allow us to do will really dictate what type of aggressive coverage things we can do. But you have to, I think, as a coach, always look at your roster and go, okay, what do these guys do well? And lean into that. There may be certain things I like doing that we do more of or less of based upon the roster year to year.
Coach, talking about just coaching as a whole and schemes and everything else, you're assimilating a staff of guys that you've worked with, some of them, and then you went out and hired some big names. And another name, Buster Faulkner, got Gator Nation super excited. Talk to us a little bit. We've had actually the chance to talk to probably a decent majority of your coaching staff now, but talk to us a little bit about assimilating the older individuals that maybe you've worked with a longer time together with some of these new names that maybe this is first time coaching with.
Yeah, I think anytime you walk into a new place, as you put the staff together, you have to really first evaluate the landscape of who's there. Like, you walk in, before I hire anybody, I meet with everybody in the building and go, hey, this is going to fit, this isn't going to fit. And then you naturally, we all, you know, you may lean towards people you know or have worked with, but I don't just, when I take a job, don't just tell everybody at Tulane. I love all the people that I worked with at Tulane, but you don't tell everybody, hey, like, pick up your stuff and let's go. And you're moving from that office to the same exact office at Florida. It's a different place. And my job as a head coach is to put together the absolute best staff for Florida, not my best friends. All right. Doesn't mean they can't be my friends, but I'm tasked with making Florida be in the position we can be in to be the best we can be long-term and short-term for that matter. Well, you want to put together an all-star staff. You also need to make sure you hire great people. Like, I don't care how much a football coach knows. If it's a bad dude, I don't want to be around him. Like, I'm not saying choir boys, like, trust me, you can do a background check on me. I ain't perfect. All right. My wife will tell you that if you don't believe me. But the thing to me is you go out and you put together a staff that's got great experience, that's done at a lot of different levels, that's maybe got exposures to different types of systems offensively or defensively, to where we can put together a staff here. Like, in our offensive staff room right now, we got several guys that could go call the game if they had to. Like, Buster, obviously, but Joe Craddock's done it for me most recently. Trent McKnight's been an offensive coordinator, right? Like, there's a lot of guys in that room. John Donovan works on our staff, been an SEC coordinator and a coordinator at Penn State, isn't it? So you got a lot of people on that side of the ball, and on defense, for that matter, that Greg Gasparato's not the coordinator. Brad is, but Gas was my coordinator, and so – there's a lot of depth to the staff, to where you've got a lot of coordinator type thinkers in a lot of different roles. Chris Collins, you know, works on our defense staff. Chris thinks like a coordinator. Like, there's a lot of guys on our staff that I think can sharpen each other. I want to surround myself with people that provide original thought that makes everyone in the building better, that aren't just yes men. If there's somebody that walks in our building, they just want to say yes to me because I'm the head coach, then they don't fit here. Now, at the end of the day, when I say, hey, this is what we're doing, that's what we're doing. I don't care. Like, I am the head freaking coach. But
yeah, that's right.
But I want great people around me to challenge what we're doing to grow in every area possible.
Yeah.
Coach, you spoke about the D-line depth a couple of times. I like that room. So I was a little just caught off guard when you talked about it. I know we're missing maybe some space eaters at defensive tackle, but you spoke about the D-line depth. Are you speaking from the lack of when you see the vision for the entire program and what it could be, or are you cautioning us for what we may see in the fall? Like, how do you feel about that room?
Well, it's probably the one room, Corey, that I went in the spring most unsure about on defense, and I left maybe more sure than I thought it'd be. Like, the depth of that room did step up to me throughout the spring. I think that was the room that answered more of the questions I had than any room on our team. Now, I had less questions about the running back room because I had a pretty good pulse of who Jaden was. I had maybe some questions about the other guys. I just didn't know enough about the room to go, man, I really know what this picture is going to look like, how we put it together. And then I left the spring going, okay, I got a pretty good vision of what this D-line group could be. I would like to have one more true nose. I feel like that would be, you know, that's not happening. There is no second portal window. But that was where going into the spring where I felt maybe a little bit lighter than what I would have liked. But I think we can manufacture what we need up there with the bodies that we have to play at a high level. And there's a lot of guys in that room. Cam James coming back, middle of spring helped. You know, LJ had a good spring. I think he flashed the most he has during his time here so far this spring. Jeremiah McLeod did some really good things. DK Kalu and Mbachu. There's a lot of guys that you start to feel their presence as we went through spring ball that gave you reason for hope.
Yeah, I'm on the other way. We've lost like 10 pounds, so I don't know that I can help you in that space heater mode. But you mentioned
a couple months ago, it could have.
Listen, my wife was pregnant. There were snacks. There were snacks in the house. We're all losing the baby weight now.
Yeah, you didn't want her to put on baby weight on her own.
No. It's a team effort.
That's right.
Team effort.
I've done that a couple times, but I know the feeling.
You mentioned LJ McCray. He's a guy who Gator fans know. Big five-star recruit out of Daytona, Daytona Beach. Just has had bad luck with injuries. Just he's someone who, when I saw him this spring, just looked pissed off. And not at anybody, but just like for the chance to be able to be 100% and play football. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, I think he's been frustrated. It's time for LJ to have a year. It's time for him to come on. I think he feels urgent. You know, when you've maybe missed opportunities, you've been injured, things haven't gone your way. I think sometimes that can wake you up a little bit and it can stir you to maybe move at a different pace. I think you felt his length and his athleticism a lot this spring. He has to continue to work on striking blocks and using that length with how he plays with his hands. But, man, he is a slippery, long player who's got loose hips, who can create some negative plays and get in the backfield and be a problem. And it was fun to watch him play and sort of grow this spring and find his confidence. You know, when you've been out that long or maybe hadn't played at a high level, you start to sometimes doubt, well, he needed some things to go good, and they did go good, and he started to feel himself a little bit. And he still has some strides to make through the summer. He knows what those are. But the light is definitely coming on. We need that light to be really, really bright this fall.
Coach, you inherited a completely new roster for the most part for yourself. A new leader stepped up. Folks graduated. What do you look for in a leader, and what are you trying to inspire in them this offseason?
Well, I ask everybody in the program to lead. It starts with leading yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, there's levels of leadership, but nobody's allowed to get off the hook and say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, yeah, you are. You lead yourself every day. Like, how are you leading yourself today? And so that's where leadership starts, is with yourself. You know, too often I think people hear leader and they think like, man, I got to be like Tom Brady or Drew Brees or whoever. And it's like, No, like, you know, you can just be you for now and grow you. And that's leading. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then as you lead yourself there, like we're at Florida, Tim Tebow, leader, right? Like, but not everybody's ready to get behind the podium and put his heart and soul out there yet. It's, man, show up and do the right things for yourself daily. Mm. That's level one to me. And then you start to influence other guys. Then you start to lead other guys, which means like I'm calling people out. Like there's an accountability component. You know, I tell me all the time, I thought Coach Saban had a great quote years ago. He used to say, if you want to be liked, go sell ice cream. Don't be a leader, right? Like leadership, when you start to talk about graduating to leading other people and holding others accountable, you're not worried about people's feelings now. Like you're worried about the standard being met every day and the expectations not being sacrificed. We're never going to waver what that looks like. And so leading other guys, and then when you become a real leader that's leading other guys on the team, like a Jaden Woods does, or like a VB3 does. VB3 is an elite leader, man. Well, when you're an elite leader, now it's not just your responsibility to lead others. It's now your responsibility to develop other people to lead the way you lead. Like, get them on your mm-hmm. level. Because the more people we have that lead and call things out, the more we have an opportunity to have success here. And I tell our guys all the time, good teams can be coach-led. Great teams are player-led. And I'm going to lead. Like, I'm not asking for somebody to let me off the hook on leading. I can promise you I'm going to lead every freaking day. But what we need is the leadership of our team in the locker room, that to come to life on their end. Because when your players are the ones that are holding the standard ridiculously high, you got a chance to do some special things.
Speaking on leadership, we have a very close quarterback battle here, right? What are the attributes that you're looking for to make this decision on who's going to be the starter, and also who makes that decision? Are you leaning towards or delegating to Buster Faulkner to make that decision, or is it a group effort?
The players make the decision by how they practice and prepare. And so, like, the numbers, we show them, you know, daily their efficiencies with the football, mental mistakes, like all that stuff. So there's a football component, right? Like, am I making the throws? What's my completion percentage? What's my adjusted completion percentage? Because sometimes you may have a guy, like one of the quarterbacks may go 13 for 20 on a day, but if he's got five drops, are you putting those five drops on him or are you putting them on the receivers, right? And so there's a statistical component. It's pretty black and white. But I task all those guys with, you know, from an intangible component, having to lead. And through the 15 spring practices, like there may be one guy that had a certain number of days that you would say, if we had to name a starter, he had that many days that he won the day. Then there may be another number on another guy, you know? And so you look at the full body of work, like, I don't look at just one day and go, well, this guy had this one day that was better, or this guy had a bad day and it was like whatever. Don't, it's a full body of work. And so we've been ridiculously transparent with all the guys in that room. They have been awesome with each other. They're all coachable. They all take feedback well. I talk to them all the time about competing with each other. I think the thing I've been most impressed with Philo and Tramiel both really as the known guys, if you want to call her in a competition, but you know, they're keep competing with everybody in the room. Cause Will Griffin's coming too. Like they're all coming. And so I want all of them to grow. But the thing I challenge them all with is like, guys, if I ever catch one of them pushing somebody down to try to help them go up, you will not be the starter just because of that.
Yeah.
And so they've been great with each other. They've been fun to be around. But as you make the decision, yeah, like it'll be a full staff decision. All right. Like there, but really, you know, Corey, like I'll tell you this, like I've had to make a decision like this every year. The players make the decision by, hey, are guys following you? Are you operating in and out of the huddle? Are you communicating at the line of scrimmage? Are you getting sending the right call and out of the wrong one? Are you making the right throws? Are you making the right reads? Are you protecting the football? Are you creating explosive plays? Like there's so many things that go into it. And then two, it's a full body of work. It's not like It won't be one guy that just has a big scrimmage in training camp and it's like, ah, he won the job. It's, man, what you do in February, March, April, May, June, July, it's that consistency, because everybody's going to have good days. Everybody's going to have bad days. It's the most consistent guy who will get the opportunity to start game one. You can start game one and not start game two. You know, my first year as head coach at Troy, I think Gunnar Watson, we won 12 games that year. We finished 19th in the country for the first time in school history. And Gunnar was sort of the incumbent starter. He started about 9 games. The other guy was Jarrett Dagey. He started 5 games or so. And so it's week to week. Yeah, it'd be nice and easy if we had an incumbent starter who we all knew who the guy was. But those guys have been great. I actually don't think, like, I don't get caught up in the quarterback deal being the biggest conversation piece. It's just it's a huge role. But, man, all those guys on our entire roster, everybody's got a huge role to help us be successful, including the quarterback room.
Coach, we appreciate it. We know you got to run. Thanks so much for the energy that you brought to Gainesville. I know Gator Nation is pumped for it. They love your energy. We hope that you're enjoying it. Thanks for being accessible. Thanks for your staff for being accessible as well. It means a lot to us in the podcast world. And, man, we wish you the absolute best of luck as you head into your first summer in Gainesville. I'm sunscreen. Get an umbrella. But it's going to be fun, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the fall.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys, man. Go Gators.
Good luck, Coach. Go Gators. Go Gators.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.